Back, everyone. This week, I am honored in introducing Miss Carla Doctor to Crystal Ball Clarity of It All. Welcome, Carla.
Hey, so happy to be here.
We were kind of doing a little dance party before this, so we always bring the good vibes, I feel like.
We definitely do. We've got the vibe, the dance, you know, because you guys know what that is.
Oh, I love you. It has been a long time coming, and I am so glad to have you on, to be honest. Me and Carla have ran so many different rooms together, and I've learned a ton. So there's a whole bunch of knowledge to be dropped by Miss Carla herself. So I'm glad to have you on. And look at that. It's season three. We are rounding out season three of Crystal Ball Clarity of It All. I can't even believe it. I know, her mouth is open.
Congratulations. You rarely catch me speechless, and yeah, that's awesome. Congrats.
This is huge. And I will definitely be having you back for season four, but I would love for you to intro yourself to our friends listening.
Yes. Well, hello everybody. My name is Carla Doctor, and I'm an embodiment coach and transformational keynote speaker and author. I'm also certified in Revelation Breathwork and the founder of EmpowerCon, which is a premier virtual experience. And through everything I do, speaking, writing, talking, events, I'm all about empowering, energizing, educating, and equipping women with skills, tools, resources, and strategies. I really love to help women safely explore and embody a life filled with pleasure, love, prosperity, so that they can tap into limitless possibilities.
That sounds so good. When I have to tell people, because when I met you, I feel like you definitely lifted me up. Okay. I was in a different place then, for sure. I feel like more at the beginning of my journey. And just how you sat there and you'd be like, no, girl, you totally got it. Like, just like, and so many other women too, you really lift up with no one asking, you know, anything of you. You just give and give and give and give. And that's why, honestly, I wanted to have you on. Now, today we are discussing how important it is to heal, but that healing is not a destination, but a journey. So really, I'm going to have you take the lead here. Please go ahead and take us back to what does that mean to you?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This has been very much at the forefront of kind of this last like kind of season that I've been going through. I kind of joked with you and you're like, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, well, do we talk about season one, two, or three of my life and these different kind of chapters that I've gone through? And to just kind of wrap it up in a very short little bow here, to let you all know where I'm coming from, is that from 15 to 25 years old, I was in unhealthy, abusive relationships, physically, emotionally, sexually, you name it, I had that. During that time, I was also raped in college. I was also robbed and held at gunpoint. I also had a miscarriage. I like had been through a lot of things in this 10-year time. I had one of those moments where, you know, when you kind of ignore things for long enough and the, you know, just like God, universe, divine source, energy, what call it what you may, was like, Carla, get your stuff together. I had gotten a DUI and that was my eye-opening moment. Best thing that ever happened to me. But I had gone to school for criminal justice, psychology, forensic science. Like I was going to be CSI before it was a popular TV show. And so I'm like, well, this doesn't look good, right? Like, this is not going to look good on the old resume, having this DUI. So I started doing some soul searching. I was like, how did I get to this point? Because I've gotten sick from drinking once when I was 15 years old. And I vowed to never let that happen again. And I successfully, to this day, can happily raise my hand and say that I've succeeded in that. So what happened from when I had control over drinking and I'd have one or two drinks and then I'd stop drinking to then being hot mess express, like dancing on the bar, then happy, then crying, then sad, then punching the bar top, then yelling at somebody, and then I'm happy, and then I'm dancing, and I'm sad, and going through this roller coaster that I was like, how did I get here? And I remember that one of the assignments that my counselor, the group counseling that I was in for the DUI, had asked us to ask a friend that we like partied with what we were like.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. That is actually that's a really good assignment.
Yes. And I didn't want to do it because I could look back and I could see what I had just described to you. And I thought, ooh, she does not love herself. I'm like, how did I get there? And then I was able to pinpoint that moment to where it was almost like a light switch in me. And that was the rape in college. I finally was able to put words to what I had experienced. I didn't know that I was a survivor of domestic violence. We didn't talk about it back then. And so now that I had these words to coincide with it, I skipped out on a physical agility test for a police department, went to the library, got books on domestic violence and sexual assault, and my journey began. And I was like, maybe I'm supposed to work with these people. Like maybe I can be a hope and an inspiration that like you can move past this, that you are not defined by the situations and circumstances that you've experienced. And if I could give somebody hope that they too can have a happy, joyful life, then it's all worth it. If I can just help move one person, right, then it's all been worth it. And so that all kind of plays into my higher purpose and everything it is that I do. But like, that was the beginning piece. And then I had all of these like beautiful angelic moments that confirmed that this was the path that I was supposed to go into. So I started my healing journey. And, you know, it's like we get sick and we go to the doctor and then the doctor gives us medicine and then we're all better. And I think that oftentimes we associate the same with healing, that like, oh, this thing happened, I'm going to go to counseling or work through this or do this, and then I'm healed.
Yes.
That's what I thought. Right. Right. I mean, I think that even if you're brave enough to go to counseling, right? Like how many people don't ever talk about it? So many people just suffer in silence. And that's another part of my passion, that it's like, you are not alone. If you've experienced any of this stuff, you are not alone. There's support and there are people who want to just love on you and support you, but we don't. And we hibernate, we close down, we shut down, and we internalize it.
Yes.
And we shame all over ourselves. We should all over ourselves. I should have done this. I should have done that. Society teaches us to be shameful, to feel guilty, to should all over ourselves, right? And so where are the people like me now that are talking about this? Because I never heard them talk. So.
No, I mean, this is huge. I mean, right. I mean, even for you to be talking about it now, I mean, there just most recently was a girl who went and told like the principal that this guy had assaulted her, and she ended up suspended. She ended up suspended. This is how bad that it has literally gotten. And that's why I just want to say thank you, first of all, for sharing that, because that is not easy. And to even talk about it, I know that you're living in your purpose, but it's still not an easy thing, especially I don't ever remember any girls really talking about it in high school. I would say I was probably like 26 before I heard someone really come out. And then of course we had the Me Too movement. So there was not support, resources, and it just blows my mind. I'm glad that you sat there and did things for you, but still you had to make decisions in the moment to decide if you were going to go down this CSI path, which, oh my goodness, I had no idea that you went to school for that. I'm definitely picking your brain about that later. And it makes sense, but then deciding to live in your purpose. And I think that's a lot of strength there. And healing, I do have to say, I thought healing, you went through something, you figured it out, you found the root of you know, what you were going through, why you're triggered by something, why you act a certain way or have a coping mechanism. And I thought once you figured it out, well, that you weren't going to be triggered again, that you wouldn't have to go through something again. And I was actually completely wrong. I just thought you get to this, like, I don't know, finish line. We love finish lines in society often while we're in this like journey, but I'm always looking to, oh, I'll be happy if once I get to this finish line, or I'll do this once I get to this finish line. We tell people, hey, treat your mental health like your physical health, like take a sick day. But the same sense, just because you take that sick day doesn't mean that you're completely over it. You still have to keep working on it.
Well, and I love that you brought that up, because it was, you know, I did my healing and then I started working with survivors, and I thought I was really good at mentally punching in and out to work with them. So for over 12 years, I was working in crisis services, domestic violence shelters. I was on call 24/7. I was responding to the hospital to support survivors within 5 days after their assault for the forensic evidence collection to provide resources. But like, I couldn't cry with them. And I was the director of the program, so I couldn't cry. And you know, that was seen as like unprofessional, right? So I have my team of staff and volunteers that are looking to me for strength and stability. And then I can't appear weak to senior management and making decisions, right? So what I did was I disassociated. And I thought that I was just mentally punching in and out, but what I never did was set aside time to actually process and feel. And so then what happened was, then 3.5 months pregnant, the rug got pulled out from underneath me because I had been still avoiding that healing process. Now, I can say that when you start pulling at the actual roots of the problem and the issue, the triggers are less. Your emotional response to those triggers are different. But it doesn't mean that it's like, there's no like completion period, because it's all just a part of the journey in life. And, you know, I think that like, I like to think of life as kind of a video game. So this is my fun analogy, where, you know, we're playing this game of life, and we know that like, we start the game and we're playing, right? Do, 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 do. And the killer turtle comes and I didn't jump fast enough and I die. All right, now I got to start back all over again, right? So now I'm playing the video game and I'm like, ah, oh, I see you, killer turtle. You're not going to get me this time. I'm going to hop over you, right? So now I've gotten past that obstacle because I learned the lesson that I needed to learn. I call it a blesson. Whenever we're triggered, there's a blessing and a lesson, right? So like, things are happening for you, right? We need to take an empowering stance in this too, that we're not a victim of our circumstance, because that's going to keep us in a low vibe and a low energy. And that's going to keep us finding all the bad crap that's happening in our life. We can take an empowering stance to whatever it was that happened. It's hard. You don't always see it when you're going through it, but hindsight, think about everything bad that you've gone through. Like, you've survived 100% of your worst days thus far.
Completely.
You're a badass.
Yes.
You're a badass. So like, if I could overcome that stuff, surely I can overcome these next pieces too, right? Like, I've just gotten stronger as I've gone along the journey, because now I'm choosing an empowered state. It's not like, oh, this person left me. No, I'm choosing to live a life where I can be loved and supported and admired and treated how I was supposed to be treated, and be in a partnership with someone. It's not that somebody left me, woe is me. No, did it suck? Yeah, it sure did. But now when I look at possibilities, if you can stand in possibilities, what becomes possible for you if you heal from this, if you go after that dream, if you start that podcast, if you want to train for a marathon, whatever, like, what becomes possible for you, right? And so if we can start looking at these things and take this more empowered stance versus thinking about how everything is happening to me, then we get into a different vibe. Then we start attracting better opportunities, better people, mentors, guides, teachers that can enlighten, say, hey, baby boo, like grab my hand, like come with me on this journey, right? And it's not that like we're taught that we have to have the thing in order to be the thing, right? Like we're taught that like in order to be rich, like we have to have money. You have to have the money first before you can be rich. But it's actually the opposite. If you can embody the version of you who already has the money, then you don't even need the money. The money is just this little piece of paper. Right? Money is energy. It's made out of the same thing that you and I are. And so like, if you can tap into the energy and the vibration and feeling of being rich every single day, the struggle disappears. All of a sudden you find $100 bill laying on the side of the sidewalk. All of a sudden you got a scratch off for Christmas and you won $10,000. Because you are in the vibration and the energy and the knowing, you have the feeling. Because it's not the money that we're after. We're after the feeling that we think money gives us.
Boom.
Well, we have everything we need inside of ourselves. We seek outside of ourselves for relationships. We want love. You know what? Ain't nobody gonna love you above the level that you love yourself. And if you can give yourself everything it is you need, which you can, it's capable, I can teach you, right? If you can fulfill those pieces inside of you, you take yourself out on a date, you buy yourself flowers. It's not treat others how you want to be treated, treat yourself how you want others to treat you.
Ooh, that was good. That was so good. Oh. Yes.
Because that's what's going to start it. It starts from within, but yet we seek everything else from outside of us. But in order to get there, that's where the healing comes. Because in order for you to love yourself, you're going to have to look at some shadows, some things that you did, the things that you're guilty and shaming because society told you that it's not okay for you to think this way or act this way, or you're too sexy or too loud or too emotional or too this or too that. So we have to heal from some of those pieces too, because otherwise we step into the identity that other people have set for us, which is why we're freaking miserable. Because we're trying to be something that we're not because society or our partners or our family told us that this is how it's supposed to be.
Oh, if that's not the truth, if that is not the truth, hands down. And that was my biggest thing, is putting yourself first is really scary, especially as a woman. And do you feel like you've had to kind of revisit putting yourself first throughout your three seasons?
You know, I feel like over the last 3.5 years, it was actually right after the very first EmpowerCon that my girlfriend told me, she said, "Carla, you are your own beloved." And I said, "The hell does that mean? Like, down for me." And I mean, it was basically that, like, I have everything it is within me, and I must love myself first. And through that self-love, and by self-love, I don't mean bubble baths and pedicures. Like, I mean, shadow work and inner child work and tapping and putting nutrients in your body, right? Food is fuel, that all of these pieces, they work together. But like, that's what really was a pivotal moment for season three. And from that point, I chose me. And I think even when I was pregnant, even just before that, because I wanted to reject all of the other things that people had then placed on me, like, oh, you know, people were mad that my pregnancy was like so easy. I never got sick. Like I was, despite going through a very terrible time that like nobody even knows about, I was very emotional, and people just chalked it up to being pregnant. And so that was a good cover. my secret's out now, I guess. But like, I think that I chose me and I chose my son, but I never wanted to be the person who lost my own identity. And I was very clear with my friends. I said, look, call me out or call me in if I ever become the person who says, oh, I can't do that because I have my kid. Oh, I can't do that because I'm a mom. Oh, I can't do that because of, no, like, if I don't want to go, I'm not going to use my kid as a crutch to say that I can't. And I'm also not going to stop living my life, because the best thing for my son is for him to know that it's okay for him to live his life.
Yeah.
That like he should experience the things that he wants to experience. And it's meant for him if it's a desire. If you have a desire in your heart, it's meant for you. So the best thing that I can do is be that example for him. But then people are like, oh, well, just wait till they hit the terrible twos. I'm like, no, I reject that. Because I think people who've had really terrible situations that like, society said kids turn two and they're jerks. Now, yeah, you know what? Their sacral chakra is being born. Their sacral and solar, their solar plexus is being formed at that time. It's terrible twos because they're finding their identity and their ego is being created. But that doesn't mean that they have to be terrible and that they're jerks. Because if you like, and I'm not speaking for all kids, and I'm not speaking it like I'm not the parental expert here. I'm sure I'm going to mess up my kid in some form or fashion, because that's what we do, because we chose our family for these experiences and these lessons. But like the level that I'm at, it's that I see him as basically a walking subconscious mind.
Wow.
I'm not going to label him. I'm not going to say like, you're messy or you're mean or you're angry, right? Like, remember all of the things that we say to ourselves, right? Everything that we say after I am becomes our truth. I'm a procrastinator. I'm lazy. I'm this, I'm that. Because somebody else said we were, and then we took on that identity. You're bossy. I'm bossy. No, you're a freaking leader. Like, yes. Words matter. Words matter here, right? But like, trying to be very conscious of those things, but still like, yes. The answer to your question is now I work on every single day choosing me for the greatest good of all, right? Like, I think that some people get it twisted that like choosing yourself is selfish. It's actually the opposite. Like, not choosing you is selfish, because you're not doing anybody else any favors by you not being you. And the most beautiful thing that I realized was the more me that I was, the more I attracted people who like, one, actually freaking love me because of who I am.
Yep.
Right? Like, you and I fell in love on Clubhouse because we're on this app, this talking head app, that like, I didn't have anything to prove to anybody. Right? And we could just be us. And then when you show up just as you, and then you find people who are attracted to you just for you, not because you have a fancy title or this or that or the other thing, just because you're you, and you're like, wow, people like me just for me? What a crazy concept. But it's so hard, like pretending to be someone or something else.
100%.
And so like everybody else is taken. Be you, boo. Like, I mean, if anybody's seeking permission, my last name is Doctor. It's spelt with an ER. So I'm not a real doctor. But if anybody needs a prescription, her permission slip, a doctor's note, I'll be happy to send one your way. You have my permission to choose you, because it's selfish of you not to, because we're not doing anybody any favors. End rant.
No, that's so good. I think that the relationship with yourself is so important. And I've talked about it really since day one, but I love that you explain more about it, because I think we often think that the face mask is just the self-care. And don't get me wrong, I love like a good pedicure, a massage, and all of those things. But there is like mental self-care, like not just like all the physical stuff that we do. And people completely like miss that entire aspect of it. Now, I thought it would be a lot easier kind of just chucking at all of the things from my past and what I was doing in my own journey. But I have to say, it's been extremely eye-opening. And I also am to the point where I'm having more of that relationship with myself. And it's not just the negative self-talk, because Carla is completely right. When you say I am, and trust me, my brain, as I'm pointing at it right now, will sit there and say, oh, you woke up 5 minutes late. Now you didn't do it right. You didn't get up. You're not going to get the stuff done. And it's like, first of all, I still got the entire day that I can change this around, and negative Nancy needs to shut the up. Okay. So we talk so negative, and that was one thing that I could not, for the longest time, I was not catching myself. I'm very self-aware, but in the same sense, it was going to a negative standpoint. So I definitely recommend a coach, because that has brought me back to showing myself more compassion and more grace, because it is a journey. Healing is a journey. And just like you said, triggers, they'll change, like they get lighter, or how I approach a situation. I'm like, oh, here we go. I've seen this one before, turtle. So I am 100% with you there. And I think there's a responsibility level that people don't realize, even despite, because I can play victim any given day with my past, but I had to step into, this is my responsibility to heal myself and to create the life that I want. But you know what? I have not sat there and asked myself, and I'm sure many people don't until they feel like it's too late per se. It's like, what do I want? What the hell do I want? I remember knowing exactly what I wanted in my teens. I was determined this is what I wanted. But throughout my 20s, I felt like I was just like in the survival mode and never sat back and said, what do you want? What do you want, Crystal? What do you know? What do you want to do? Who are you now? Because I'm not 16 anymore. You know what I mean?
Because we were so rejected in our teens, right? Like we knew what we wanted, but then we compared ourselves to everybody else.
Yes.
Where people told us, oh, well, that's going to be really hard. Like when you said, I want to start a podcast, and everybody's like, oh, that's a lot of work. Oh, that's hard work. Oh, that's this, right? Then you're like, oh, right. So I think sometimes when we express our dreams and we don't get the support or the like, hell yeah, like do it. Like, let me know how I can support you, right? That's way different. But it's like we've expressed what it is that we wanted, and then somebody like kind of like pooped in our Cheerios. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, that's not really appetizing anymore. Like, I don't think I want to do that. I mean, that's one of a million reasons, but like, mm-hmm. part of it too, it's like our self-esteem gets worse after 15, 16, right? Like it just slowly goes.
Oh yes.
And just like dwindles, which then goes down to the worthiness. And then we compare like success, because when people talk about like being successful, right? If I were to ask you, like, Crystal, like, what is your definition of success?
Before I would have said money and a title. Now I can tell you that like living in my passion and being really clear with my purpose is success for me. Like, I'm living in my success right now. Like, this is what success looks like.
Yes. And you can embody that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and even before you had the physical podcast, like you were still doing the work for it. Definitely. You were still a podcaster before you released your first episode. And so like, but society tells us in order to be successful, you have to have X amount of dollars in the bank. You have to drive this type of vehicle. You have to own this many properties. You have to, right? If you're an entrepreneur, you have to have this many fans and this many followers and this many clients and da, 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 right? In order to be quote unquote successful. And when I would do like vision board workshops, and I was talking to one woman, and she's like, I don't really want like the fancy car. Like, you know, you look at what everybody's putting on their vision boards. They're putting that fancy vehicle. They're putting this vacation home. They're putting this. And she's like, I really just want to spend a lot of quality time with my family. I'm like, great. What kind of things do you want to do? What's the feeling that you want to feel? That success, my definition of success, your every single person's definition of success is different. But because we think that we have to live up to other people's idea of what successful is, then we feel less than.
Yeah.
And then we judge ourselves for not being successful. And it's like, do I have $1 million in the bank? No. Am I successful? Heck yeah.
Yes.
But like, my level of success isn't determined by the amount in my bank account. Just as much as when you hop on the scale, the number that your scale gives you isn't a determination of who you are as a human being. It doesn't say, good morning, Crystal. You are beautiful. You are a kind, giving soul. No, it spits out a number and then we're like, oh, I'm fat. Like, well, thanks, you know, but like the measurements are different. And we assign a level of meaning to all of these different numbers determined by who. But if
that's
you can
a good
tap
question.
In,
that's a very good question, because I would like to know who, and I'd like to talk to them and kick them in the shin. Okay. Just right in the shin.
Stop. Whoever invented the scale thing. Dumb. But like, you know, it, and so I think that if we can, one, we have to know who we are.
Okay.
In order to understand what it is that we want, like, who am I? What the hell do I want? If I can remove all these labels of all the things that everybody placed on me, who the heck am I? And what the heck do I want? And then the next step is getting to love and accept yourself for who you are, because that's hard. You're like, oh, and understanding the shadow sides and the inner child and these different pieces. This is where the healing is in this love part, right? And then you got to trust yourself. Trust yourself that you can have the podcast or the relationship or the money or the love or the family or the support. You're going to trust others and the universe, source, God. So like, but it starts at that very beginning point that we like fluff over. And so first, like, we really got to peel back those layers to figure out who you are in order to know what you want. And it's funny that you can look back that, like, if we can step back into possibility and open ourselves up to receiving the signs, to knowing, to trusting, that, like, as I started healing, as I go along my journey, all of these beautiful signs come to me now. They've been there the whole time. Remember Who You Are was there back in 2013. And I'm sure it was there when I watched Lion King for the very first time, because that was my favorite freaking movie as a kid too.
Same.
My first, I think it was like in my first CD was the Lion King soundtrack. That and Melissa Etheridge.
Two good and, ones for sure.
But it's like, back in my day when CDs first became a thing.
Cassette types.
Back when we got rid of the 8-track. Oh my gosh.
So true. So true.
So like, find somebody, but also find somebody that you can, that specializes in this, because that's going to be really important. Because I went to a school counselor to talk about my rape and then got re-victimized. But then I worked in a facility that helped survivors, and they were trauma informed, and they didn't victim blame, and they like provided the support and resources and safety planning and all of those essential tools that you need when you're going through that process. So finding someone who specializes in a certain area when it comes to counseling can be very beneficial. Like, you don't want to go see somebody for weight loss who works on something else.
Yes, because there are so many.
Don't do this alone.
Yes. And I love that you put it that way, because I really felt like in my talk therapy, I was talking about the trauma and I was in it, and then it was nothing. And then I would just cry for like an entire weekend. And I felt like I never moved forward. I was just like spinning my wheels. Now I went very general on it. And I knew I wanted a coach, and I feel like I manifested it in a sense. So lo and behold, I'd be surrounded by coaches come year 2021 that I would learn so much from. Well, with that being said, where can they really work with you at? And I also want you to talk about EmpowerCon, because I think that would be also something, a resource for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I'm on all the socials as Carla with a K, doctor with an ER. Carla with a K, doctor with an ER, on Instagram and Facebook and Clubhouse and all LinkedIn. I love working with people and meeting them where they're at and helping them embody and step into who it is that they were created to be and that they desire to be, right? Helping you along that know, love, and trust journey, taking those different steps, and then using different modalities. And so I talk a lot about this on my social media, the different types of techniques and breath work and tapping and rage dancing and shadow work and inner child play, right? That it's like life is meant to be lived and it's meant to be joyous because all of us, like, I feel like generally we typically want to have a good, happy life. And if that's what we all desire, it's all available to us because we wouldn't have the idea if it wasn't meant for us. Mm-hmm. So really getting to play with that and going and bumping against what society has told you that things should look like or whatever, but really stepping in and peeling off all those labels to find out those different pieces and those levels. So you can find me on the social medias or my website is venturelifecoaching.com. And EmpowerCon is a premier virtual event. It happens every single year. And that is a safe space for women to explore pleasure, love, sex, femininity, prosperity, money. We're going to have these conversations, but it's a safe space where you can come as you are and a full embodiment event that you will leave as that next best version of you who has the thing it is that you want. We're going to do tapping. We're going to dance. We're going to do yoga. It's like a retreat from the comfort of your homes, but it's going to be this full embodiment event. So Friday night, it's January 21st through the 23rd. And so Friday evening will be the kickoff. We're going to have champagne, meet and greet some of the different speakers and specialists that will be there. Saturday is going to be all about sex, love, and money and really having these conversations and these experiences and like, what is sexy? Right? Like we want to like feel sexy. Like most women want to feel sexy, even if like they don't show it to the outside world, but just like that feeling that we want inside. And then like the people who wear makeup, we're like, oh, I wish I could look that good with makeup on. And then other people are like, I wish I could look that good without makeup on. Right? Like everything it is that you want, that you see in somebody else, it's available to you too. That goes back into that desire. So really like, what does that mean? So we're going to uncover all these different pieces. And then Sunday is going to be like a release to receive, where we're going to do some healing. We're going to do some releasing. VIPs will have a workshop and a breathwork session and all these different pieces. So it's going to be really, really epic. And so you can find out more information about that on my website as well at venturelifecoaching.com/EmpowerCon. Pre-sale tickets will be coming soon.
And I will go ahead and put all the links, everyone, down below in the show notes. So if you're listening, all you got to do is just click away, especially to those pre-sale tickets, because I mean, January is right around the corner. How exciting. I know you've been looking forward to it.
Oh my gosh. I just like, I just created a whole vibe board for the event.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing, because you're talking about, I mean, we could fill up 3 hours with the amount of knowledge that Carla has. I swear to you, that's why she is coming back for season 4. And we're going to have to do a live too, so people can ask you questions. Mm. So I just want to thank you for coming on. You have definitely been a huge part of my personal growth. You're so passionate about this. And I just want to go tell everyone, please go like and follow. She is absolutely amazing. And you'll see me commenting as well. And her amazing yoga poses. One day I will get there, lady. One day. Until then, please go like, subscribe at Crystal Ball Clarity of It All. We are rounding out season 3. So push the buttons and do the things. And I will see you next week for one last episode of Crystal Ball Clarity of It All. Goodbye.